Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 13, text, I think it's 15 through 19. So we'll just read them together. Text 15. Shri Uddhava Uvacha Yada Tvam Sanakadhibhyo Jaina Rupena Keshava Yogam Adishtavan Etad Rupa Ichami Veditum. Translation. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Keshava, at what time and in what form did you instruct the science of yoga to Sanaka and his brothers? I now desire to know about these things." Text 16. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Putra Hiranyagarbhasya Manasak Sanakadhaya Paprachu Pitaram Shukshman Yoga Shvaikanti King Kitim. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "Once, the mental sons of Lord Brahma, namely the sages headed by Sanaka, inquired from their father about the difficult subject matter of the supreme goal of yoga." Text 17. Sanakadayuchu Gunesh avishate cheto gunas chetasita prabho katam anyonya santyago mumuksho atitir shiho. Translation. The sages headed by Seneca said, "O Lord, people's minds are naturally attracted to material sense objects, and similarly the sense objects in the form of desire enter within the mind. Therefore, how can a person who desires liberation, who desires to cross over activities of sense gratification, destroy this mutual relationship between the sense objects and the mind? Please explain this to us." Purport. As described above, as long as one is a conditioned soul, the modes of material nature, manifested in the form of sense objects, constantly disturb the mind, and by the harassment, one is deprived of the actual perfection of life. Text 18. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Evam Krishna Mahadeva Swayambhur Bhutta Bhavanaha Jayamanak Krishna Dbijam Nabhyapatya Karmadihi. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "My dear Uddhava, Brahma himself, who is born directly from the body of the Lord and who is the creator of all living entities within the material world, being the best of the demigods, seriously contemplated the question of his sons, headed by Sanaka. The intelligence of Brahma, however, was affected by his own activities of creation, and thus he could not discover the essential answer to this question." Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted three verses from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam as follows. In the ninth chapter, verse 32, Lord Krishna blessed Brahma with realized knowledge of the Lord's actual form, qualities, and activities. In the ninth chapter, verse 37, the Lord ordered Brahma to rigidly carry out the Lord's injunctions and affirmed that Brahma would thus never be bewildered in his cosmic decision-making. In the sixth chapter, verse 34, Lord Brahma assured his son Narada, "O Narada, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, with great zeal, whatever I say has never proved to have been false, nor is the progress of my mind ever deterred, nor are my senses ever degraded by temporary attachment to matter." In the present verse in this 13th chapter of the 11th canto, Lord Krishna states that Brahma, unfortunately, did become bewildered by his creative functions, thus providing a grave lesson to all of the Lord's empowered representatives. Although one may be elevated to an exalted position in the Lord's transcendental service at any moment, there is danger of false pride polluting one's devotional mentality. think I'm supposed to do 19. We can just, you can repeat after me. Samam Achintaya Deva. Prashnapara Tirtirshaya. Tashyaham Hamsarupena. Sakhasham Agamam Tada. Please chant. Samam Achintaya Deva. Chintaya Deva Krishna Bhakti Saha, he, Lord Brahma. Mam, me. Achintayat, remembered. Devaha, the original demigod. Krishna, of the question. Para, the end. Conclusion, the answer. Tirshaya, the desire to attain, understand. Tasya, unto him. Aham, I. Hamsarupena, in my form of Hamsa. Sakasham, visible. Agamam, became. Tada, at that time. Translation. Lord Brahma desired to attain the answer to the question that was puzzling him, and thus he fixed his mind on me, the Supreme Lord. At that time, in my form of Hamsa, I became visible to Lord Brahma. Purport. Hamsa means swan, and the specific ability of the swan is to separate a mixture of milk and water, extracting the rich, milky portion. Similarly, Lord Krishna appeared as Hamsa, or the swan, in order to separate the pure consciousness of Lord Brahma from the modes, the material nature. In primary school, I'm sure you all learned your basics, ABCs, and your 1, 2, 3s and everything by, at least in the old days, you used to have a bunch of paper with lines on, big lines, and you'd have to write them again and again, pages and pages. I don't know what they do because it's computer day. I don't know if they write. Did they even learn how to write anymore? I don't know. But anyway, we would have to like A with a little small A, big A, little A, pages, each one, about 10 pages of each one, just to learn and learn again. And so here in this chapter, it seems like again and again we're hearing the same message. But it's the basics. It's how we perform the rest of our life, learning these basic things, especially in spiritual life. We need to hear in Kali Yuga at least 3 times, just like Prang Govinda. He read the, I don't know if you all noticed, he read the introduction to this chapter 3 times, right? 3 times we heard the introduction. We really need to get this under our belts because it's very important that we understand how conditioned we are. We are really, surrounded by the modes of material nature, and it is not an easy thing to get unbound. And we have to really understand that. Prabhupada said, you know, it's we're not afraid enough of Maya. And she is on all sides of us. So fortunately, we have, again, an opportunity today to hear about these modes of nature and the difficulty that even Lord Brahma had. Here he is, directly born from Krishna, and with full of knowledge and benedicted in so many ways. He got to shake Krishna's hand and everything, but he thought he had it together. But he also had his obstacles and his pride, and was deterred in his goal of perfection. And likewise, ourselves, it's not easy. Even some of the greatest other saints and sages, they, you know, very qualified, extremely, absorbed in their practices of Krishna consciousness, and some little thing happens, some little mode of nature, you know, just floats by, and they catch it, the disease, and gone. Sometimes even their devotional creepers uprooted, and it's gone for many, many lifetimes even. So we can understand, because we get moded out, as they say, right? Sometimes we're just in that mode where, you know, it's really difficult to keep steady in our services. Mrs. Durga is perfect in her services. She's expert, very competent in moding us out, and therefore we have to be very careful that we don't let her seep in, because as soon as we're not with Krishna, then she is there, and she can talk us out of our service. But Uddhava here, he has a very good advantage point. He's getting to hear all this knowledge. He's, as they say, getting it under his belt. It's like ammunition to be able to withstand and avoid these modes of nature, this attack that Durga does on us. And even to the point where you can become so shielded by this knowledge that you can, the influences of the modes of nature will not penetrate. So this is one thing we should understand, that we really need to understand this knowledge, get it under our belt as ammunition, because we are no exception. Brahma thought he was an exception. He says, no, I'm not going to have a problem. Don't worry, I'm really fixed. And it was like setting him up for the slam. So don't ever think that we are way up there and above everything, and you're asking for it. That's all I can say. So this history of the modes of nature and our good old selves here in the material world starts from day one. We're thrown into the lap of not just your mother, but we're thrown into the lap of the bigger mother of Maya Devi. And she cradles us, and she's saying, oh, everything is so nice here. You're so cute. Such a cute little thing you are, you know. And yes, you're gonna make it good here. You're gonna find your pleasure here this time. Everything's gonna be just hunky-dory for you. It's gonna be paradise. I noticed after the hurricane in the islands, when everyone was completely, literally wiped off the island, there was a few souls that ravaged the storm, and they were interviewing them. And so they're interviewing this man, you know, about, you know, how come it is you stay here, you know. And he goes, it's paradise. And behind him, his house is completely in toothpicks. Not one tree has a leaf on it. All the other trees are smashed to the ground. You can see it behind him. And he's saying, but it's paradise here. He goes, these things happen, you know. They come and they go. But it's paradise. Anyway, you know, that's how strong Maya is. So this is the glitter. This is the glitter of Maya that she throws all over and makes it seem like everything is very, very nice. Even a great saint like Bilamangal Thakur, he's born of Brahmin family, very qualified in so many ways. But his, you know, he was brought down to the lowest, and completely plundered all his good qualities. But he got another chance. He met a spiritual master, and he had some realization to the extent that he, you know, went way beyond, actually to the extreme extent of literally blinding himself from this glitter, poking out his eyes so he would not be tantalized by the form of the opposite sex. So this is extreme. We're not saying to do that by any means, but we do need that shield. And so this is, you have to understand that he got another chance. It wasn't like he was immediately liberated, but he had to work on it. Just like Lord Brahma had to work on it. He had to repent and had to work on it a few times. He blew it. So ourselves, many times we can't make it all on one lifetime, but we get another chance. And just like Bilbam Thakur, he went to the Himalayas. He got purified and he got liberated ultimately. So this is, we have to become extremely serious in this devotional service. In the Nectar Devotion, I found a very nice passage that kind of describes all this. It says, all conditioned souls who are engaged very frantically in activities for sense gratification, without knowing that this process will never help them get out of material contamination, are awarded only with repeated birth and death. So this is, everyone's frantic about trying to enjoy, going to put their house back together after the hurricane and again try to enjoy those papayas hanging from the trees if they ever get leaves or fruit again. But what are they going to get? What's their reward? You get to come back again and go through a whole nother series of hurricanes or whatever, not birth and death. That's what it's all about. So we have to be reminded of that. And each day we have a choice ourselves. We can be moted out. We can push the alarm and say, no, one more hour, that's all. I'll make up my rounds later on the day. We have that choice, or we can, choose to that transcendental path and realize that the duties to my spiritual master are my priority in this lifetime. And I'm not going to be waylaid by these different modes. I can stick to my vows. I can be determined to overcome them. And the devotee actually understands the importance of this sadhana, because this sadhana is the means of the liberation, of not coming back and being born and die and go through all this hellish turmoil again. So this is our shield, the early morning chanting, hearing. We wear it under our saris. We're strong after a nice morning program, and then the material energy comes at us during the day, but we've got that shield, and we can say, no thanks, I don't want to go there. No thanks. Therefore, the programs are very important. Unfortunately, the ISKCON doesn't have a very strong evening program, so it's really up to us to figure out how to avoid the temptation of the digital world and, all the entertainment that you can get with your fingertips that you can, absorb yourself in before you go to sleep, which will take you away from Krishna. So one has to be very diligent in finding an evening program so that they can keep that consciousness very, very strong, and keep a bulletproof vest on until the next day. So this is something that we can maybe consider, a stronger temple program in the evening that is more attractive than Facebook and all that. But the habits go really deep. And I'm sure when Srila Prabhupada came here in the early 60s, he saw that, wow, these people are really absorbed in their, their indulgence. But he was preaching. I listened to a lecture 1966 in New York, and he's telling the whole process of going from Anarthan to Vritti all the way to Prema to these hippies, at 65. You can imagine what the group looked like. They were sitting in dhotis and, have all this behind the cells. And he's telling all this such that you can make it. You can go there. You can go to Krishna Prema. He was actually, he had that much faith that, yes, you can get there. Even though you're way down there, you can get all the way up here if you take to this process and have the faith also. And ultimately, to get from this infection of the material world to the having the affection to serve Radhe Shyam for the rest of your life, this is obtainable. It is doable by the mercy of the spiritual master and all the great devotees. Actually, one thing I've learned from many of the previous acharyas, I've learned by studying their prayers. These are kind of my shastra also, the songbooks. And there's so many really wonderful prayers that can teach us the proper attitude to have so that we can perfect our devotional service in this lifetime and maybe skip a few births and deaths. This is a song that when I read it, I think there's a video of Prabhupada singing this song, and he's on the harmonium, his eyes are closed, and he's actually trembling. His head is just shaking. He's so intensely absorbed in this song. And this song, I'm going to read the translation, and we can kind of, you know, think it's somebody else, but we can also kind of think that maybe I still am a little tinged with some of these qualities. This is a confession. And this is a very important thing I learned from this, many of these prayers by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is that he actually confesses that I am moded out, that I am under some modes of nature. Not that he was, but this is our attitude that we should have. So that we can chant properly, so we can serve in a very submissive way, that I do have some conditioning. This is called Amar Jivan, which means my life. My life is ever given to sin. In it, there is not a particle of good. I have caused others great anxiety and have indeed troubled all souls who ever encountered me. For the sake of my own enjoyment, I never hesitate to perform sinful acts. Devoid of all compassion, I am concerned only with my selfish interests. Perpetually speaking lies, I become dejected upon seeing others happy, whereas the misery of others is a source of great delight for me. There are limitless material desires within the core of my heart. I am wrathful, fond of exhibiting arrogance, intoxicated by vanity, and bewildered by worldly affairs. Envy and egotism are my cherished ornaments. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds, yet am very enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For the sake of worldly fame and reputation, I engage in the practice of deceitfulness. I am victimized by my own greed, being always lustful. A vile, wicked man such as this, rejected by godly people, is a constant offender. Devoid of all good works, forever inclined toward evil, he is worn out and wasted by various miseries. Now in old age, deprived of all means of relief, the humble and poor Bhaktivinoda submits his tale of grief at the feet of the Supreme Lord. So he's not enjoying being in this situation, being conditioned. He's actually suffering. He's being victimized. We are being victimized. You go out there and people say, yeah, I'm good. But they're being victimized, as it says in these purports here, by the mind, by that constant association of the mind with these sense objects. I'm constantly hankering and lamenting. I'm victimized. And I'm doing things that I don't want to do. I know I shouldn't do, but I do them anyway. And so it's not a pleasurable experience being here in these material bodies. We have to clean up these habits. And so therefore, we have to take this confession. And besides confession, as you can see in this song, that then you have to call out for help. Not that you just remain in this situation, but you have to humble yourself and say, yes, I need some help in this conditioned state. And then you have to become very enthusiastic to take it. It's very important that we take it however it's given to us. It might be given to us in a not so palatable way, like medicine, like what's that, echinacea or whatever that stuff. Oh my God, so horrible. I mean, no matter what you put with it, it's still there, you know. But you have to take it because you know it's going to work, right? So we call out, okay, now I'm going to take it. There's a very nice song also. It's a call out. Let me see if I can find it. What's it called? It's called... I'll find it in a minute. It's the marketplace of the holy name. Borisuka Kabogai. And it's it. What?
It would be nice if you
could sit here. Yeah. Maybe I can. But at the very end, it's describing how Lord Nityananda set up that marketplace of the holy name. And that's where the relief is going to come from. That's how, what we should get enthusiastic about. That's what we should get frantic, not about material things, but frantic about going to this marketplace and getting much holy name as we possibly can. And in the last call out, it says, we no longer need to fear the terrible age of quarrel. For the most merciful Lord Nityananda gives the holy name to anyone and everyone, even to the lowest among men. And then Bhaktivinoda loudly calls out and proclaims to all, other than the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no shelter. And what is the price that Lord Nityananda asks? He says, faith, right. So we have to have faith that this process will help us. Many people in the material world, they also are feeling a lot of these kleshas, especially Mother Nature's been at her best lately and giving us some disturbances, so that maybe we can understand that we need some chastisement in different ways. But at Ratha Yatra, we have a booth where we have a lot of success. People actually come there because they're tired of being controlled. They're tired of being in anxiety, being victimized all the time. And they're looking for relief. And it's a meditation booth. We have, it's called Meditation Station. And at Jacksonville Ratha Yatra, it was so successful this year. We had a couple of really nice, enthusiastic devotees that just sat there the whole time. And I'm not kidding, every single minute of that festival, before and during, there were people there wanting to learn how to chant japa. And we did. We had a whole program where we took them behind, and someone sat with him, and he must have chanted, I don't know how many extra rounds that day. But what's his name? I can't remember his name. Nice Indian gentleman. Anyway, he sat there and chanted with these people, and they were all enthusiastic to try it. Yeah, I've tried everything else. Why not pick up these beads? Immediately, they're, wow, what are these beads for? You know, it's like, oh yeah, maybe it's a link out of here. Maybe I can do something to get out of here. And they did. They sat there very attentively and chanted, and that most of them went away with beads. We actually ran out of beads. People wanted more. People wanted them as souvenirs for the festival even. And because they could see that, wow, this is something that might work. And so I think we should popularize the booth more. Send people there. If you're talking to people, please go try it. You know, take it home with you and do it at your home. Because Kali Yuga is progressing, it's not an easy thing, and we all do have these desire seeds very, very deep inside. Nectar Devotion discusses all these different places that the desire seeds are. Many are at the mature stage, and those are the sinful acts. Those are the sinful desires that are actually manifesting now. They're mature, and we want this, we want that, we can't resist that. And the really, really ones that are already fructified, producing fruit, they're getting the results of those sinful activities, and they're getting they're getting battered. And then there's the ones that are not yet fructified. They're festering in the mind, the desires that they're in the mind. And then there's some lying in the heart. Their seeds just waiting there to come out, and we're thinking very, very diligently. Yes, I think I might go do that sinful activity, and with a little bit of influence, you're gone. So these seeds are all around, and we have to get rid of them. So we have to call on Krishna to replace these desire seeds, purify the desire seeds, so that we just have the desire to serve Krishna, serve our spiritual master. And this will ultimately, they'll be burned at the root, ultimately, if we keep at it. Just like that, there's a big, huge fire. After we had the hurricane, we had a Govardhan Hill of stuff back there, and they lit it on fire. And that thing has been going for 4 days. It's still smoldering. Because what's its light when I walk by in the morning at dark? And it's still smoldering. So it takes a long time for that light to go out, but it can if we keep at it. Lord Chaitanya has prescribed the medicine for it. He's prescribed the heavy duty strength, holy name, the highest strength you can get to relieve us. And we have to take that that holy name to rid us of all this infection. And it'll pull us away. It'll take us away from this attraction that we have to do all these sinful activities. I get bewildered sometimes because many times in the scriptures it describes natural. That naturally, Prabhupada says even on the recording, it's natural that we want to serve Krishna. It's natural that we want to be in love with Krishna. And then also here we hear, you know, that it's natural to be sinful. It's natural that we want sex lives. It's natural that we want. So what is it? What is natural? So it depends if you want to be naturally, you know, conditioned your whole life, and naturally, of course, you're going to do all these things. Or if you really, eternally, your nature really is to be pure and connected with Krishna. So it's human form of life is such an important thing. And to watch all these human, forms going by, the campuses and everything, not knowing which way to go, which way to be dragged, it should develop some compassion in our hearts to try to help them to make the right decision. Otherwise, they'd be lost, they'd be swept away by the hurricane of Maya, and who knows when they'll get an opportunity again. It's frightening to think that to have to come back here in the material world is not going to be any better, that's for sure. So we can't be lazy. That's one of the diseases, mundus mateo, that we are lazy, although it describes in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, he says he's lazy about spiritual life, but very enthusiastic about material life. So we have to change things in this lifetime. In this one lifetime, we can. We can become very zealous about spiritual life. But we're dealing with some very experienced enemies, very, very competent enemies, and that's lust, anger, and greed, which reminds me of a play that the ashram did. And we haven't done it in a long time, the Kali and Sin play. And I can remember some of the people that played parts. I remember that Vrinda was anger. And it described that Kali and Sin were making all their plans how to go and capture all these different people. He would send out lust, and they would come back, yeah, we did this for that person, and this person fell down like anything. And then anger would go out, and then greed would come back, and they would have all these great tales. Yeah, oh, everyone's fighting. You wouldn't believe how they're fighting. Now there's another war, a new war here, another war there. Yeah, look, and Kali and Sinha, yeah, we're so successful. This is great. Kali Yuga's really going great. And then one day, I just remember Vrinda coming back as anger is saying, he says, yeah, but, and he's looking really weak and everything's, and what's wrong? Kali goes, what's wrong? What's wrong? Well, I don't know. I was out there and everything, and then someone came up to me and gave me a cookie. And now I can't be angry anymore. and then the other person comes in and goes, yeah, they're out there doing this chanting, and I don't know the sound. My lust is going away, and all of a sudden the Sankirtan party comes in, and Kali and Sin are like, oh my gosh, Lord Chaitanya's movement. Oh no, what are we gonna do? And it's really a nice place. But it's true. The Sankirtan movement is so wonderful. It can destroy all of Kali Yuga's plans. It can get rid of it. I remember I was in Mayapur, and there was those morning walks. Everyone came back after the morning walk and said, yeah, Prabhupada said there's going to be a third world war, and Prabhupada said this and that. And then another day they came back, and I was thinking, boy, you know, what's the worth it? You know, I might as well just stay here in Mayapur, you know. And then when they came back the next day, they said, but Prabhupada said the Sankirtan movement can change everything. It can completely reverse Kali Yuga. So we should become frantic and enthusiastic to go out there to the football game and all these places where three modes are so heavy. I mean, it's just like they're personified walking in front of you, you know, but that we can change the course of action and within ourselves and with other persons. So it says in Bhagavad Gita, be thou happy by this sacrifice. It will bestow many desirable things upon you, and desirable things on the whole world. So, yes, let's take up the banner of Sankirtan and enjoy the Sankirtan movement. We don't have to be victimized. We can see that there can be a very big change in our mentality and in our inner core of our being. We, in this lifetime, we can clean up our mess, even though it seems like we have a lot of work to do in a very short time. I don't know about you, but the time is getting shorter. And it seems like as you clean, Papa said, you find more and more dirt. So as it goes on, you keep finding the real, real grungy dirt that's been stuck there for lifetimes. And we need the help of the devotees to scrub those areas really well. Any comments, questions? Yes.
I just want to share this one thing. I travel quite a bit on weekends, and sometimes I japa. I have to chant whenever I can. So I was traveling. I was going, I can't remember. Oh, yeah, I was going to St. Louis. And I thought, my God, I have 16 rungs. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I was flying. So I always chant anyway. I always have my bee bag. So I was so absorbed in the chanting. I was chanting walking the plane. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. I was really, and I'm walking in, and I look up, and people are looking at me, and I go, oh, my God. So anyhow, I went and sat down, and I went to the temple later on in that day, and I met this devotee there, and he said, it really touched my heart. He said, you know, you were chanting on the plane. You were so absorbed in the chanting, and of course, I didn't have devotional clothes on. And he said, I remember I... how I used to chant, and I haven't chanted for so long. And here you are, you don't even care where you are, you're chanting. He said, I'm going to start chanting again. And I was, you know, I was just thinking, we can affect people anyway, you know, if we just, whatever part of this program, you know, chanting, Harinam, book distribution, anything. So I was really, I mean, he's a devotee, but he said, I've been weak in my chanting, and I saw you were so absorbed, and I thought, wow, I didn't know if I was absorbed, I was just, you know, I have to get my lunch, and I have to get them done. So I thought it was nice.
Yeah, even prasadam, even a cookie can change people.
Yeah, I can have it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Anybody else?
Could you just say the steps from anatta nivritti up to prema? I know there's like bhuchi and then the different samadhis, and I know there's like 14 different steps.
Madhamati can do it.
Yeah, it's a lot. I know, it's kind of an elaborate question.
But in general, it's we have all these anattas, we want to get freed from them, and then if you hear properly, then you can take shelter of the spiritual master, and then you get free from all these habits and wantings. And then by your service, you start getting a taste, and then you get some attachment to service, attachment to Krishna, and then you can actually reach the higher stages of prema. So it's a gradual process, but it begins with hearing and chanting, taking initiation, and then getting slowly attached to the other sides, like going from black to white. He probably knows them by heart.
Thank you.
All the technical terms.
Oh, the from Shraddha Prema. That was the book by Madhurika Company from Nina Bandha. That's a wonderful book. You still have any?
No.
What? They have some in the store. Well, it says in the beginning there's a preliminary desire for self-realization. It's in the purport to Bhagavad Gita 4:10. Prabhupada lists the whole stages there, 9 stages. 4:10.
I haven't got past the first one, so I'm next lifetime I'll get the second one. Yes, sir.
Well, I have a question that was touched on in the purport there. You know, we know that the way to please Krishna is to please Srila Prabhupada. Shya Prasada, Bhagavat Prasada. And sometimes, though, even after pleasing Srila Prabhupada, we've seen many devotees and we've experienced in our own lives that even after having pleased the spiritual master. We know we've pleased him by our service. And, you know, and therefore gotten Krishna's mercy, but still devotees fall down. So why does that take place, and how to avoid?
Krishna's going to start answering those things. This is the questions. But like it's even described here, Lord Brahma is the mode of material nature. We're in contact with it from day one. And we can, as soon as we skip a beat, Maya's there. So don't skip a beat. No, can't skip a beat. You got to keep really steady. And when we're not steady, that's when, you know, you get lazy. There's so many reasons. Offenses. Offenses are a big one. Yeah. Offenses can really do some damage. As soon as there's some offenses, yeah, next thing you know, you're somewhere else. So there's many, many reasons, but we can, that's why it's important to be steady in devotional practices. That's why Prabhupada said 16 rounds daily, hear, chant. Yes.
You had me understand something. It mentions that fear personified is afraid of Krishna. I think it's in the Damodara pastimes, how Queen Kunti was seeing how Krishna is running from Mother Yasoda, but fear personified was afraid of Krishna. So after you're explaining about that play, it's because fear, but it loses its existence if Krishna is there. It can't exist anymore. So she is fear personified, is afraid of Krishna, because if Krishna comes, she loses her service.
You have to take shelter. Even if it's just a cookie, take shelter of the cookie. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.